On Tuesday, I went on a pilgrimage, or at least I went on half of one. I opted out after being injured, but a group of us went to Alfriston Church. That sounds like a very ambitious pilgrimage, isn't it? Well, we went to Alfriston Church, and from there we set out to walk around seven churches that are quite nearby. Now, it was quite a lightweight pilgrimage, really. It was 12 miles long, and actually on Tuesday we had a cooked breakfast after the third church, so it was quite a luxury pilgrimage. Anyway, the thing about a pilgrimage is, about being a pilgrim is, you are on a journey. You're on a journey, and you are journeying through foreign lands to a destination, to the final place where you're aiming at. You're on a journey aiming at a destination, and you're only going to be home when you get to the end, and that shapes how you live as you travel. So you cannot just stop halfway along in your pilgrimage and buy a forever home and just set up there, can you? Or you won't finish. You're on a journey. Now, we heard last time that God came to Abraham with a promise. And we've just been singing about it, haven't we? That he would make him a great nation. That he would give him a land. Shower him with blessing. And bless the world through him. These great promises. And when Abraham believed those promises, he became a pilgrim. He set off as a pilgrim. And he literally picked up all of his stuff, packed his tents up, and went on a journey to the promised land from where he was to Canaan. So he was literally a pilgrim, but he was also, his life became a pilgrimage as he walked with God, following God through his life to where God was taking him. Now, the Bible says, as we trust in Jesus, if we put our trust in Jesus, and when we do that, we become pilgrims too. We begin a pilgrimage, not literally like Abraham, not packing up your tents, but we start on a journey through our life to our true home with God. And we'll only get there, we'll only arrive when we die and are raised to new life again with him. But the question that today's passage is all about, the question for us today is, how do we live as pilgrims on the way? How do we live on the journey? And how do we make decisions? So, back to the Bible. A bit after this promise that God made to him, we've skipped a little bit from Genesis 12, now to from the beginning of Genesis 12, now we're in Genesis 13. A few things have happened, but now Abraham has got to the promised land. He's got to Bethel in the promised land. But there's a problem. He is very rich, and he's got loads of sheep and goats and shepherds looking after all these sheep and goats. And his nephew Lot, who is with him, is also very rich and has also got loads of sheep and goats and shepherds. And where they're camping, there is not enough grazing land. There's not enough to feed all of the sheep and the goats and the shepherds. And so they've started fighting with each other. They realise the only thing they can do is split up and move apart to find enough food for everyone. So they have to make a decision. Who goes where? Who goes where? And so this little story teaches us how to make decisions as pilgrims. And I want to show you three contrasts that help us when we have a decision to make. And the first one is this. Can we have a slide, please? There we go. Me first or you first? Me first or you first? So Abraham was the uncle of Lot. And especially in those days, he was older, he was more senior. He was more important. And so he would normally get to take first pick. But look at how he begins the discussion. Grab your news in the pews and turn to look at verse 8 and 9. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarrelling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Abraham is saying, you choose where you want to go, and I will go to another place. You get first pick. Abraham values Lot above himself. And if you're a Christian, if you've read about Jesus, isn't this exactly what Jesus is like? Isn't Jesus even a million times more than Abraham? He loved us so much that he gave up his life for us. He suffered because he wanted to restore you. So following Jesus means living this way too. It means you first, not me first. It is really hard, isn't it, this? I think this is the lesson that we as parents have to teach our children the most often. You put others first. And it's doubly hard because everything in me wants to put me first. But Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. That means put others first. I once heard a really, really helpful and great piece of advice about friendship. And a vicar gave this piece of advice. And he said, people used to come to him and they would say to him, I just don't have any friends. I really want friends, but I don't know how to get friends. And his advice was really simple. His advice was, don't try to get friends. Instead, be a good friend. Be a good friend. Make time for people. Be there for them. Try to support them and encourage them. And be kind to them and put them first. And very often the end result will be that you end up having friends. But be a good friend. That's the first step. Put others first. When you're making a decision, think, is it me first or is it you first? That's the first contrast. It's very simple, but it's very hard to do, isn't it? The second contrast that comes out of this story is this. Can we have the second slide, please? Wisdom or foolishness? Wisdom or foolishness? So Abraham has given Lot this free choice. He's got the land in front of him, and he says, you choose. Whichever way you go, I'll go to the other way. And Lot looks around, and he sees this lovely green pasture land over there, and it looks rich and luscious and good, and all his sheep and goats will just be having a feast on it. And so he says, I'll have that. I'll go over there. And off he goes. But there's a big clue, isn't there, in the Bible that shows that this is a foolish decision. I wonder if you spotted it as we were going through. Have a look at verse 12 and 13. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. There's the clue. Lot chose this beautiful land, but it was right next to the city of Sodom, and the people of Sodom were wicked. And it seems that everybody knew it. It is a foolish choice. He looked at the land. He could have chosen anywhere, and he chose the city, the land that was really lovely, but it was bang next to this wicked, wicked city. Now, Seaford isn't a wicked city, but do you know Seaford? Or maybe it is, I don't know. You know Seaford Head? Or the Seven Sisters, these soft chalk cliffs. And you know, if you walk up there, you very often see signs beside the cliff saying, cliff edge, don't go near, don't you? And can we have one more slide, please? But how often do we see this in the local news? There are pictures of people doing absolutely crazy things like that. Taking selfies right on the edge. And these cliffs really do just crumble, don't they? That is foolish, isn't it? That is foolish. And sometimes it even ends in tragedy. But that is exactly what Lot is doing in this Bible story. He's choosing to just go nearer and nearer to the cliff edge and hope that he doesn't fall off. But we'll see in a few weeks' time that it ends in tragedy for him as well. So when you've got a decision to make, whether it's a big one or a small one, this is a really great question to ask. Am I being wise or am I being foolish? Am I fleeing away from temptation or am I stepping as near as I can without falling over the edge? So perhaps you might be thinking, how far can I go with my boyfriend or my girlfriend without actually sinning? That thinking that way is just like stepping a bit closer and a bit closer to the cliff edge. Or maybe thinking, how much time can I spend with this person who is not my husband or my wife? How much banter, how much flirting can I get away with without actually being unfaithful? Are you stepping a bit nearer and a bit nearer to the cliff edge? What is wisdom? What is foolishness in that situation? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. That means don't go near it. It means run away from it. That is wisdom. A similar kind of example, if you know that going out on a Friday night to the pub with a circle, a particular group of friends, is going to result in you drinking too much, then wisdom would say, just don't go on a Friday night to the pub. Don't give up the friends, meet them another time, make time for them at other points, but don't put yourself in the way of temptation on a Friday night if you know that's where it's going to lead you. Don't put yourself in the way of temptation. If you find it too tempting to go to the shops because you're going to spend all your money on yourself and on stuff you don't need, well, have you thought about avoiding the shops as much as you can? Wisdom is not putting yourself into temptation, in the way of temptation. And again, I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this is easy. It's often very hard. For Lot, it was hard. He looked around, he saw the best land was right there. It was so attractive and good, but it was so foolish. And he was putting himself in the way of temptation. We have all fallen. Every single one of us here. We've all fallen. We have all given in to temptation. We've all gone over the cliff edge, haven't we? We know this. And the wonderful news is that Jesus died and rose again so that we could be forgiven for every sin. Our guilt is washed away. But now he gives us new life to live, a new life to live. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to choose wisdom rather than foolishness. You can choose to avoid sin rather than expose yourself to it. Choose wisdom rather than foolishness. That's the second one. The final contrast I want to look at is this. Last slide, please. The present or the promise. Abraham ended up with the less good land, the less plush greenery for his shepherds and his flocks. But if you look at verse 12, it says that Abraham lived in the land of Canaan. And we know that the land of Canaan is the land that God had promised him. So Abraham was living in the land of God's promise. He trusted in God's good promise to give him a land for his descendants to live in. And God reminds him of this promise again. God gets him to look all around where he's settled in Canaan. In verse 15 he says, all the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go. Walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. God's promise of the future means that Abraham can choose to miss out now. He can choose to let Lot have the best land now. He can choose wisdom now and miss out on some of the good things that seem so attractive. So what about you? Are you living for the present or for the promise? I wonder if you know what God has promised to you if you follow Jesus. Everlasting life in a world made perfect. Knowing the Lord Jesus, your Saviour, face to face. And being able to live in perfect harmony with Him and with every other believer forever. Complete freedom from sin, from temptation, from suffering. True, ultimate happiness and fulfillment. You made whole again. And it will get better and it will get better and better and better and better. And if that's your future, if that is your certain future, you can afford to miss out now. I once met two ladies who worked for Wycliffe Bible Translators, and when they were working in northern Canada, right above the Arctic Circle. They were both really clever, able women. They each gave up their careers in England to move to this really, really remote place. Neither of them were married, and the chances of meeting someone up in this really remote place were very, very slim. And they did unsung, laborious work translating the Bible into indigenous languages for the people who lived around there. And when they arrived in this sort of place where they were living, they're staying in dormitories. They didn't even like each other. They didn't get on. I only met them years and years later when they were really elderly. But they were so godly. They were the best of friends. They were full of joy and grace and the grace of God. And they had given up a whole life of pleasure and happiness, or at least what it seemed like that, because they trusted in the promise of God for a future. They had a life of suffering because they trusted in God's promise of a future, and they had brought the gospel to whole groups of people in their own language. It's amazing. But really hard. For them, those are huge decisions to make. You know, do I go to a completely different place? To a life of suffering and of difficulty? And maybe God is calling you to make a decision like that. Or maybe he's not. Maybe he's calling you to make much smaller decisions. I don't know. But I do know that he's calling you to make every decision, big or small, as a pilgrim, as someone who is on a journey, a spiritual journey through life with God to a future home with him. So remember where your true home is. So whether it's what job you do, where you live, what you do with your time and your energy, what you spend or what you save or what you give your money towards, who you seek to make friends with at school or university, how you parent your kids, how you relate to your husband or your wife or your friends or your neighbours or anything else, choose others above yourself. Choose wisdom rather than foolishness. And choose the promise over the present. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, that he gave his life that we could belong to you, that we could enter into life and walk with you through the rest of this earthly life and into the one to come, which is so much better. Thank you for your amazing promises that you cannot break. Help us to base our lives on those promises and to make all of our decisions in the light of them. Help us to put others first. Help us to choose wisdom and help us to choose the promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.